Welcome to episode 179 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In this week's show, you join me as I drive back from delivering a workshop to a group of young photographers. The subject of the session was silhouettes and contrast, and so I thought I'd share a few thoughts with you about the importance of these key elements, often taken for granted, in producing striking photographs. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 179. It's just about 20 to 5 in the afternoon, and I'm sat in the car. It is about 22 degrees outside. It's feeling quite warm, certainly in here. And I'm on my way back from a workshop that I've just conducted with some young people, some kids. And as I'm sat in traffic and it's moving quite slowly, I thought I'd just talk about kind of the subject that was the subject that was at the centre of this particular workshop, because it's something that, although the session was aimed at these young children, the principles in terms of what it is as a photographer is actually really well worth thinking about. So the key points we were talking about were silhouettes and contrast. Now, today is a very bright, sunshiny day. We were able to go outside and we had our little point-and-shoot compact cameras. All of the kids had exactly the same camera, so there was no advantage to be gained by one of them saying they've got a better camera than the other and all this sort of thing. Everyone was on a level playing field. And with the idea of silhouettes and contrast, I had to obviously explain to them what was meant by it. And of course, they weren't really, you know, they weren't aware of what a silhouette was and what have you. So I could have sat there with my laptop and sort of showing some pictures up on the screen and what have you. But in my experience, at that age, they just want to get involved. They actually just want to be out taking pictures. And if you just plonk them in front of a screen, the information doesn't go in. So I had a reference book with me, which I probably ought to tell you what it was, because it's actually a very, very good book. A lot of you may have heard of it. It's in my bag here. It is called, and I'll put a link in the show notes, it's called Street Photography by Sophie Howarth and Stephen McLaren. It's a Thames and Hudson book. And I'm just going to dart across the roundabout here, excuse me. And that was my reference point. And it's the book itself is packed full of good examples that I could use. So talking about playing with light and silhouettes and what have you, and you know, how do you describe to someone what a silhouette is when they have no frame of reference, and also they won't have the knowledge, or they won't understand what you mean when you talk about overexposure, underexposure, all this sort of thing. So I sat them down in front of me and they just sort of gathered around and we flicked through the book looking at pictures. Now, I'm well aware that some people listening, some of you are new to photography, that you yourselves may not know what a silhouette is. So let's just think about the basics, and I apologise to those of you that do know what a silhouette is, because, you know, probably teaching you to suck eggs and what have you, but if you imagine you've got someone stood in front of you and the light striking them is exactly the same as what is striking the background, and we'll say for argument's sake that that background is the sky. So the sun is beating down on a day like today. The person is nice and bright. The sun is a nice bright blue sky. Everything is getting the same amount of light. Your camera will think, oh, a lovely neutral picture. Oh, if you were to expose it in automatic, like in these cameras we're using today, that's fine. It takes a nice, well-exposed picture, perfectly acceptable. If the light behind the subject is considerably brighter than the subject, the camera is tricked, and the camera thinks, oh, there's loads of light, I don't need to give as much exposure time. And that is when it underexposes the subject, and that underexposure is what gives you a silhouette of that subject. So bold shapes are what we were looking at. Where I was giving the workshop, the place in question have a rule whereby they don't want the kids to be taking pictures of one another, and I don't take pictures when I'm there, certainly not of the children. And so ordinarily what I would say in a workshop is, right, you stand there, you take this picture, and let's all see how it all what the result is, how it all comes together. So what I have done is to say to them, well, look, bring in your favorite toys. And some of them had like stuffed toys, like teddy bears. Some had like a model aeroplane, quite a big model aeroplane. Someone had like a dinosaur. And we were using these as a subject. So today, like I say, is a bright, sunny day. Typically, the sun went in a bit when we went outside, so it wasn't as good as it could have been. But just getting them to pose those subjects, thinking about the colour, the shape, the toy that they were using, thinking about, okay, if we take all of the detail out of that, so it's just a black sort of outline, as it were, what's it going to look like? So we're thinking about how we turn that subject around to make it look as visually striking and all that sort of thing. A silhouette is one of those techniques which is so, it really is quite, you know, so simple to produce when you know. It's basically, what it boils down to is not exposing for the subject, but for the background or another reference point in the frame. And typically a lot of people think about down on the beach at sunset, or maybe in a field with trees. For example, in the winter, when the trees are all bare, you can still get great silhouettes even when the sky is absolutely white because it is so very bright. So that was the first thing. Now, some of you may wonder, what is the kind of the link between silhouettes and contrast? Well, with contrast, as I explained to them, there are basically two types of contrast that you would really need to think about. And bear in mind, I was having to put this in very kind of simple terms, because obviously young kids need, you know, they're very bright, don't get me wrong, but they need things explained in a way that they understand. So when it came to contrast, we looked through the book again, and we looked at some black and white pictures, we looked at some colourful pictures, some that were shot in the rain with the sun, like the subjects were backlit and all this sort of thing. And I said to them, what are the two types of contrast that we're basically looking at? Now, tying in with the silhouette thing, there was the contrast in light and dark. So again, something in the shadows, something in the highlight in a frame, that works really well. You know, that contrast is what gives you the silhouette. But then we were also thinking about, and in terms of the toys that they had, the subjects that we had to work with, we were talking about the contrast between the colour and the shape or the form of our subjects. So there was one example where one girl, she had one of those kind of bendy figures, sort of like a big bobble head and sort of long arms and legs that you can kind of bend into different shapes. And this was bright pink. So I said, well, look, have a look. When we stepped outside, I said, have a look. There were benches and there was the like a playground area and trees and grass and like an AstroTurf, like fake grass and all this sort of thing. And she picked a spot under one of the benches, which was quite a low bench, where there were several contrasting things going on. The toy was bright pink, rubber, rounded shapes, very smooth and what have you. By comparison, under that bench, it was dark, it was a little bit dirty, it was quite angular, whether the leg of the bench came down and what have you. And I just let her kind of get on with it. And then she was struggling a little bit to lock the focus. Now, it works the same way in compact cameras as it does with DSLRs and other cameras. If you want to have your subject in focus but off-center, a lot of you will know this, but some of you may not. What you do, you use the focusing point, which is usually in the middle of the frame. You press your shutter release button halfway down when it is hovering above the subject. You then keep the shutter release halfway depressed, and without physically moving your position back or forth and drastically sort of away from the point that you were or are, you just move the camera just slightly to recompose, and then with the shutter release button still halfway depressed, you just carry on pressing it all the way down until it takes the picture. And what you find is the subject is lovely and sharp, off center, and what have you. So I explained this to her, and she could see immediately why the picture was not sharp to begin with. What she'd been doing is just pointing it, pressing the button, and of course it focused on the ground a little bit in the distance behind the figure. But there was a really interesting thing that kind of by accident what happens there. I mean, I know it wasn't an accident, it was bound to happen, but for her it was brilliant, because what she saw was that the figure was well exposed, as was the darker area under that bench. But where the daylight was coming in from behind that bench, that was all burnt out, like the highlight had all burnt out. So I was able to say to her, look, you have got both types of contrast going on in one picture. You have the light and the dark from the background and where your little man is. Then you've got the contrast of the bright pink shiny little man versus the dark dirty kind of ground under the bench. And that immediately, she immediately understood, having originally said that she didn't understand quite what was meant. That clarified it for her right there. So, if we just think for a moment about us as more grown-up or adult photographers, if you're thinking about building a portfolio, or you're trying to tell a story, because of course photographs are all about telling stories, whether it's a single shot or multiple frames to... Wow. multiple frames to create a narrative. Those two techniques, regardless of the camera, whether it's your phone, whether it's a point and shoot, whether it's a top of the range DSLR or Hasselblad or whatever it might be, those two techniques can be so powerful for changing the dynamic within a picture. That it changes the mood, it changes the message. I'll give you a prime example. If I, in the past, say, have photographed live music, which I've done a bit of, if you just point your camera at the stage and say you're cropping in on the lead singer, often the stage is very dark, but then there's a lot of light throwing around, and the light can change very quickly and very often. What I typically do when I shoot a situation like that, and everyone has a different way of doing it, I pick the area that I want to be well exposed, and invariably that area is the highlight, because if you blow the highlights out, you can't recover them. Now, before I get any comeback, I do understand that if you shoot raw, as I do, you do have all that information you can recover, whereas if you shoot as a JPEG and you blow the highlights, it's very difficult to get the information back because it's lost. It's essentially the same difference as in the good old days of film. When we shot on negative film, we had a lot more leeway than if we shot on slide, which had to be very precise. So, with the music photography, say the singer's face is the highlight. What I would use is, whether through manually adjusting the exposure or using the spot metering, which is a very precise, narrowed field of reference, I would work out what the typical exposure time or value is of that highlight, put the camera onto manual, so all of my shots are going to be taken at that exposure time. That is one real world way that you play with contrast, dark and light, and thinking about silhouettes. So equally, if a musician, again, a very similar setup as the examples we had before, if a musician's there and they are maybe wearing quite dark clothes, and let's say behind them there was a bit of a light show going on, or the background was very bright, what I would do is expose for the background, which is brighter, which means that the singer would be underexposed, and on the basis that I could see that there was a very strong graphic outline, that would be a way of using silhouettes to give me a silhouetted shot there. Of course, if I exposed for the subject, the bright background would burn out and I wouldn't have all that detail. It really is that same old situation of just being very selective, finding what you want to do, the results that you want. But, you know, in photography, there are certain techniques which, as a photographer, whether it be an enthusiast or as a working professional, such as myself, you use the same techniques over and over and over. Now, the locking the focus and recomposing thing, that's something that I use on every single shoot. Exposure compensation, I've talked about before. That is something which is so incredibly handy, and understanding the difference on your histogram, the graphical representation of your image, the shadows, the midtones and the highlights, understanding how to tailor that and to tweak it ever so slightly to get the results you want. These same techniques could be camera blur, it could be super fast shutter speeds to freeze the action. If you're talking about lighting, it could be using fill-in flash or underexposing the daylight to make the subject really stand out using flash. There are certain techniques which we use over and over again, and some of them, like flash, are more technical than others, such as contrast, because contrast can be as simple as, on a basic point-and-shoot camera, just thinking about the contrast in colour. And that is the other thing that we talked about. Obviously, there was the dark and light, but the contrast between colour and shape. So, you would have, for example, the round shapes. Prime example, one of the kids had a model of a Bugatti Veyron car, and he couldn't quite see how he could make a contrast using this what was to him was just a toy. So literally within about, I know, 8 feet of stepping out of the door, I said, right, put your car on the floor. So he did that, and this was a bright silver model car, and we put it on top of the grate of a drain, like a rainwater drain in the ground. And I said, right, here we go. You've got the bright, shiny silver, because the sun was really shining at that point, versus the kind of dull grey of the concrete. But more so than that, you had what was below that grate, which was all in shadow. And the grate itself was like, I guess it must have been iron sort of bars going across. And that was in contrast to the very soft, rounded shapes of this model Bugatti. And so I said to him, I said, can you see that, again, you've got all the contrast going on? So we didn't play around with exposures. We just did a point-and-shoot thing. And it worked out very well that the camera thought, oh, there's lots of light here because of the high reflectancy of the car. It exposed for that. And so the drain went a bit darker. So you had that, you know, the dark lines and the shadow areas and everything worked out very well. I think it's a very good exercise, especially if you're new to photography, or if you're trying to explain to other people. If you put yourself in the position of a young child or someone who is completely new to photography, it could be a friend of yours that likes the idea of getting into it as a hobby. If you say, right, assuming no knowledge, how do I explain this technique? If you can put it in those terms, that is a really good way to remind yourself of what is important about these techniques, even the very, very simple ones. And of course, as photographers, as we walk along the street, as we drive along, as I am now, you know, if you're anything like me, you constantly are seeing the world through a rectangle. You are picking up on things like, I'm driving along here, we've got the signs, the road signs above me, we've got the lights, although the lights aren't on, you've got the very tall street lamps here. I'm just going to get out of the way of someone who's trying to get far too close. You've got the impression of movement of like bollards and the foliage at the side of the road whooshing past. You've got the contrast of the colour, the difference between the sky and the concrete of the bridges and all this sort of thing. All these things are constantly around us. Now, with the rise of camera phone technology, with the advent of Instagram and sharing your pictures on Twitter, on Facebook, and all this sort of thing, a lot of people, they rather than just seeing these things, these random details which really don't mean much, they end up jumping on them, interpreting them in a picture there and then, which is brilliant. And of course, with things like filters on Instagram, you can make a picture. Excuse me, someone just decided to pull out in front of me. Honestly, sorry, unbelievable. Really, really annoys me when people do that in rush hour. Sorry, I'm not a fast driver. I'm not someone that gets really irate when I drive. But come on, just watch what you're doing and think about it. I'm recording audio whilst I'm driving, and I can still see a pillar pull out in front of me. So anyway, deep breath. I'm going to move back out of other people's way now so I don't become a hypocrite. Yeah, so these techniques, you know, when we see the opportunities in front of us, we jump on them now. Whereas I think before, you know, often people would think, oh, that would make a really nice silhouette. Or they might think, well, wow, look at the contrast between, you know, that bright, bright blue football on the green of the grass or something like that. All those things are out there, and we just, it's so good that we can kind of jump on them now and record them. So I think that's probably all I need to say today. Apologies for the slight altercation with with my fellow road users. There we go. I'm sure you all, those of you that drive, or those of you that are even passengers, you all know what I mean. We all have to deal with it. That's just how it is. So if there are any specific techniques that you would like me to talk about, it could be that you would like me to go into more detail. That's absolutely fine. The general listenership of the podcast, you guys are pretty educated. You know what you're doing. You're just looking to learn. You're looking to get a bit of an insight and all this sort of thing. I never like to assume that everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about, which is why I often maybe go into a bit more detail to explain than maybe might be necessary. But as I say, if there are any techniques specifically that you would like to know about, as I record this, of course, we're pretty much on summer now. We're just getting into that time of the year, so it's lovely, bright time of the year. Lots of colour, lots of contrast, lots of opportunities outdoors. Of course, just ask away. Remember, you can always ask me if you're on Twitter. You can always use the hashtag QA500, which relates to the Q&A 500 little thing that I've got set up, whereby you ask me a question and I will give you a reply. I'll publish it to the Active Photographer website. It'll all be anonymous. I'm not going to single you out. A lot of people don't necessarily like that sort of thing. But I will answer in 500 words, so you get exactly the answer that you need, but none of the waffle trying to sort of just, you know, give you lots of examples, like too many examples and too much chatter around it and what have you. So there you go, Q&A 500, hashtag QA500, just ask away. So I hope that's helped. I hope that's been of interest, bit of a slightly general one today, but hopefully it's kind of got you thinking a little bit. So there we go. That's it. So for now, I will leave it there.
Just a small correction. The book I referred to there was actually called Street Photography Now. All other details I gave were correct. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.